Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is side one of For the Record program number 455, titled Compendium on the Muslim Brotherhood. This is being recorded on April 11th of the year 2004. Remember that there'll be a detailed, annotated, article-length description of For the Record 455 in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. Within a week or so of the airing of this program. I want to stress for listeners that only listen on the radio that the descriptions themselves are a tremendous resource. Frequently, I add material that I don't have time to put in the original broadcast, and this is a really pedantic, very linear format, so please take advantage of the written descriptions. A lot of people have been asking me when I'm going to do some writing. Well, folks, I have been doing a lot of writing, and there are hundreds upon hundreds of pages available on the internet at spitfirelist.com. They're available for free, and if I do say so myself, they constitute an invaluable resource, so please take advantage of those. Also, sister station WFMU-FM in Jersey City, New Jersey, the heroic WFMU, is archiving the For the Record shows on Real Audio. More recent programs are streaming at www.wfmu.org/Dave Emery, one word, DaveEmory. Older programs are available for download only, also on Real Audio. That is at a longer URL, linked to both the www.wfmu.org/Dave Emery address and to the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. The Spitfire website carries the most recently recorded pair of half-hour segments on Real Audio for download only. Also be aware there's now a search engine on the Spitfire website so that you can search the annotated descriptions of For the Record. And also be aware that the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile by the late heroic Paul Manning is now available for download on the Spitfire website. Part of the file is still in PDF as I'm talking on April 11th. Some of it has been converted to HTML in order to save bandwidth, but please be aware of that. Now, with the public attention focused on what Bush knew and when did he know it or what didn't he know, in my opinion, something of a diversionary measure, and with the situation in Iraq looking bloody and not particularly hopeful at this point, what we're going to do is to take a look at an organization that doesn't get a lot of discussion, but yet is at the very foundation of the worldwide Islamist movement. That is the Muslim Brotherhood. We've talked about the Muslim Brotherhood in the past. Its financial organ, the Bank Al-Taqwa, or NADA Management, is at the core of the funding of not only Al-Qaeda, but also Hamas and other organizations. Michael Weiner, an expert on terrorist financing, described it as the spine upon which all Islamist terrorist financing organizations were founded. And again, it is the financial network of the Muslim Brotherhood. I should note that in some countries, the Muslim Brotherhood has begun espousing a more democratic political and social agenda. I see that as very much like the superficial democratization of the Alleanza Nazionale in Italy. That is the fascist party, or some would say post-fascist party, that evolved from Mussolini's fascists. Gianfranco Fini, the head of the Alleanza Nazionale, has been giving lip service to more democratic and egalitarian values. I view it as just that, lip service. In practice, the AN is not democratic, and the fact that the Alleanza Nazionale, which is part of the coalition government of Silvio Berlusconi, former P2 Lodge member, the fact that another element of that coalition was the Pino Rauti organization, gives the lie to what Fini has been saying. Pino Rauti is one of the most violent and virulent fascist activists in Italy, and he is an unrepentant and violent devotee of Mussolini. And to my way of thinking, I believe that Pino Rauti really represents the iron fist inside of the velvet glove being worn so decoratively by people like Gianfranco Fini. I see the Muslim Brotherhood in a similar fashion. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood is traditionally Sunni. There are, however, some very interesting links between the Muslim Brotherhood and Shia Islam. Many of those exist in Iran. Some of those exist in the United States. With the situation in Iraq heating up dramatically, and with now indications that the Iraqi Sunni Muslims are forming alliances, at least to a certain extent, with some of the Shia Islamic rebels in Iraq, I think the possibility that the Islamo-fascist Muslim Brotherhood may be helping to bridge the gap between Shia and Sunni, and in turn doing that to help mobilize an anti-American and probably ultimately anti-Israeli operating foundation is one not to be too readily discarded. What we're going to do in this show is to present, as the title indicates, a compendium of information from past broadcasts about the Muslim Brotherhood. This is being done largely for the benefit of those listeners who find many of the names that I talk about here strange, and consequently find it sort of difficult to relate mnemonically the various elements of our investigation into September 11th and related topics. Again, this is not to be patronizing or to find fault with listeners, but a lot of the names, a lot of the concepts here are alien, and yet they are at the foundation of the investigation into September 11th. Al-Qaeda and also Hamas are but two of the latest outcroppings of the Muslim Brotherhood. So we're going to take a look at that organization by compiling some of the information from past broadcasts into a single entity. We're going to begin by taking a look at the book Dollars for Terror, The United States and Islam by Richard LaBeviere, published in softcover by Algora in English in 2000, published in French in 1999. Of the orientation of the Muslim Brotherhood and also of the political affiliations of some of the key people involved, first we're going to take a look at Saeed Ramadan's relocation of the Muslim Brotherhood to Munich, Germany, in the wake of their expulsion from Egypt. Why Munich? Why Germany, I asked Rifat Saeed. Because there, one finds old complicities that go back to the late 1930s when the Muslim Brothers collaborated with the agents of Nazi Germany. By soaking up the savings of these Muslim workers in Germany, Youssef Nada, like Saeed Ramadan, took advantage of an extremely favorable context and used it as a springboard for the Muslim Brothers' economic activities. And then of Youssef Nada, the head of Nada Management, or Al-Taqwa, the financial organ of the worldwide financial organ of the Muslim Brotherhood, we read, "But Youssef Nada is even better known to the Egyptian intelligence services, who have evidence of his membership in the armed branch of the fraternity of the Muslim Brothers in the 1940s. At that time, according to the same sources, he was working for the Abwehr under Admiral Canaris and took part in a plot against King Farouk. This wasn't the first time that the path of the Muslim Brothers crossed that of the servants of the Third Reich. And of the ideology of the Muslim Brotherhood in its inception..." Still from Dollars for Terror, and by the way, this is reviewed from FTR 343 and 435, "of the fascistic ideology and economic program of the Muslim Brotherhood, the history of the fraternity makes the brothers' concept of the Islamic State clear, a theocratic state of fascistic inspiration. Some of them, the Muslim Brothers, were fellow travelers of the Nazis and are still trying today to resuscitate the old alliance of Islamism and the swastika." Muhammad Saeed al-Ashmawi continued, quote, "All my research always brings me back to the same point. At the beginning of this process of the perversion of Islam are the Muslim Brothers, an extreme right cult." An extreme right cult? "The history of the Muslim Brothers is infused and fascinated by fascistic ideology," Saeed al-Ashmawi adds, again quoting, "Their doctrines... Their total, if not totalitarian, way of life takes as a starting point the same obsession with a perfect city on earth, in conformity with a celestial city whose organization and distribution of powers they can discern through the lens of their fantastical reading of the Quran. This fascistic affiliation would crop up in the analyses of several of our interlocutors, in particular that of the journalist Eric Rouleau, who is a specialist in the Middle East and a former French ambassador to Tunisia and Turkey. Lastly, the emergence of the rise to power of fascism, hostile to French and British colonialism, gave rise to many analogies with corporatist propaganda and the methods of mobilization of Mussolini's gangs." That after skipping down and skipping down still further in Dollars for Terror. This is the ideology of the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood, Hassan al-Banna. Islam is doctrine, divine worship, the fatherland, the nation, religion, spirituality, the Quran, and the sword, unquote. And still further, taking Italy's choices under Mussolini for inspiration, the economic program set three priorities. The social policy foresaw a new law on labor founded on corporations. This economic program would more directly reveal its relationship to totalitarian ideologies a few years later with the works of Muhammad Ghazali. Muhammad Ghazali recommended an economic regimen similar to that which existed in Nazi Germany and fascist Italy, unquote. The moral code is also an important component in this program, which is intended to create the new Muslim man, unquote. The notion of the equality of the sexes is inherently negated by the concept of the supremacy of male social responsibilities. The, quote, natural, unquote, place of the woman is in the home. Now, as I indicated, in some parts of the world, the Muslim Brotherhood in more recent years has at least been giving lip service to a more egalitarian social view. That, however, I think is to be taken with a grain of salt. Again, note that this organization is arguably the most powerful single Islamist political organization. It is related to, though distinct from, the Saudi Wahhabi Islamic philosophy. We're going to take a look now at one of the areas of overlap between the Muslim Brotherhood and the Wahhabis. In past discussions of the Bank al-Taqwa, we've talked about the fact that many key and very powerful Saudis helped to finance Bank al-Taqwa and the Muslim Brotherhood. That's a subject we're going to come back to. We should also note that, again, there has been a strong relationship between the Muslim Brotherhood and the Saudi-based Wahhabi philosophy. There also are some areas of departure between the two. But what we're going to look at now is a review of information from, For the Record, 447. And this concerns the relationship between the Bank al-Taqwa and the Muslim Brotherhood, and perhaps even more importantly, the connection between the Muslim Brotherhood and Saeed Ramadan and the genesis of the Muslim World League, one of the primary Saudi Islamist or Dawah outreach organizations. And again, the fact that the Muslim Brotherhood appears to have been a driving force behind the Saudi Muslim World League and one of the motivating forces for the expansion of Saudi Islamist proselytization into Europe, that is a very, very important connection indeed. Reviewing now from For the Record program number 447, this is an article called Secrets of the Financial Holy War. It's an interview with Richard LaBavière, the author of Dollars for Terror. This appeared in Le Nouvel Observateur of January 31st of 2004. We read, the Nouvel Observateur asks, in one of your works, you claim that the father of Tariq Ramadan, Saeed, was one of the founders of the Bank al-Taqwa, suspected by the United States to have financed al-Qaeda. LaBavière. In April of 1998 in Cairo, I interviewed Mustafa Mashour, the guide of the Brotherhood of the Muslim Brothers, at the seat of his organization, located at the edge of the Nile. One had then evoked the operation of the Islamic banks. The guide assured me that Youssef Nada, the financier of the Muslim Brothers, and Saeed Ramadan, the father of Tariq Ramadan, were friendly since their escape from Egypt in the middle of the 1950s, and that they were at the origin of the creation of Bank al-Taqwa, the fiduciary company based in Lugano, whose seat was in the Bahamas. This establishment managed the money of the members of the Brotherhood. The guide, now deceased, said to me that the Ramadan brothers always acted in the logic of their great father, Hassan al-Banna, and that they were regarded as agents of the interests of the founder of the Brotherhood. Saeed Ramadan is the son-in-law of Hassan al-Banna, whose fascistic ideology we just recounted in the previous portion of the broadcast. By the way, research and translation credit, this is translated from the French, goes to Lucy Commissar. Continuing with this article, Nouvel Observateur, that doesn't make any of them, therefore, the accomplices of bin Laden, LaBavière. No, of course not, but this bank, al-Taqwa, is suspected by the FBI, and this shortly after the 11th of September, to have taken part in the financing of bin Laden. It, Al-Taqwa, is reproduced on the blacklist of the Americans. However, this kind of Islamic bank is quasi-impenetrable. It does not have the right to make interest. It thus makes assemblages of risk capital. Translation. It invests in concrete organizations, the financing of NGOs, etc. In fact, multi-stage financial arrangements feed a myriad of charitable organizations. It is what the specialists call bleaching back or laundering. It is a zigzag, a labyrinth in which the investigators lose themselves inevitably. When one examines the financial exercises of these establishments, a whole fringe of their activities is registered under the heading of zakat, the religious tax, the obligation of charity, a truly forbidden zone for investigators. However, one knows that the zakat is used to finance offshore companies, protected perfectly by the same bank secrecy, and also that the Islamic NGOs, which are completely unverifiable and uncontrolled. Thus, since November of 2001, Bank Al-Taqwa changed names, but Youssef Nada, the friend of Saeed Ramadan, continues its activities. The investigation does nothing but create publicity. And again, by way of noting one of the stumbling blocks of investigating the Muslim Brothers' financial activities, the fact that not only do they conduct many of their activities in cash, many of their transactions in cash, but that in turn these these Islamist banking organizations are heavily overlapped with legitimate charities and that they are opaque to examiners makes any investigation of the overlap between legitimate activities and terrorist activities, an overlap that exists, a very difficult thing to penetrate. And obviously the bank secrecy that surrounds the laws of places like Switzerland, Liechtenstein, Luxembourg, to a certain extent, the Channel Islands, the Cayman Islands, Panama, and other places, makes the investigation of the Muslim Brotherhood's financial activities doubly difficult. Now, more about the Muslim Brotherhood, their connections with the Saudis, and the impenetrability of their finances in terms of investigability. Nouvelle Observatoire. What can make the Swiss authorities wrap up the matter? Richard LaBaviere. The problem is that in Switzerland, the banking interests are the absolute priority. For the federal government, it is imperative not to annoy the Saudis and their bankers. The experts of FATF, Group of Financial Action, consider the Saudi assets placed in Switzerland at between $30 and $60 billion. It is a vital activity for this country, Switzerland. So nobody really wants to unearth a scandal which could kill the hen that lays the golden eggs. Judge Carla Del Ponte, even when she was Attorney General of the Confederation after the attack at Luxor in 1997, was accused of dragging her feet. To defend herself, she explained that she was confronted with a wall of money, unquote. By the way, I would note that Carla Del Ponte is the law partner of Pier Felici Barchi, who is the lawyer for Youssef Nada, former Third Reich intelligence agent and the head of the bank Al-Taqwa. Continuing with this interview, this is a very important part of the interview because this talks about Saeed Ramadan and his role with the Saudis in helping to found the Muslim World League. The Muslim World League is a terribly important organization, and some of the monies that have been channeled abroad under the auspices of the MWL have gone to finance Al-Qaeda and other organizations such as Hamas. Continuing, Nouvelle Observatoire. But the Ramadans are not directly implicated in this history. LaBaviere. Historically, Saeed Ramadan was one of the founders of the Muslim World League in 1961. It was he who advised the Saudis to finance the Dawah in Europe, the propagation of the Islamic faith by money, a kind of financial holy war. It is one of the key characters of this ideological war. He, Saeed Ramadan, is a central figure in the international branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Egyptian intelligence services suspect him of working directly for the Americans in the 1960s. And at the same time in which according to La Bavière, Saeed Ramadan was helping to found the Muslim World League, or to generate it, with the Saudis, Saeed Ramadan was also working with key Third Reich intelligence agent François Janoux, whose history we just reviewed in, for the record, 453. Turning again to Dollars for Terror, it was in this precise time period that Ramadan was instrumental in the formation of the Muslim World League. Let us mention only the incident of the treasure of the FLN, at the center of which the banker François Janoux may be found. Saeed Ramadan and the Muslim Brothers thought that they could play a part in the Algerian process, as they had done in Palestine in 1947. Saeed Ramadan thus left Munich to settle in the city of Calvin. And again, for some background on François Janoux and the FLN, check out the text from Kevin Coogan's book Dreamer of the Day that was accessed in For the Record program number 453. Now, once again, the Muslim Brotherhood is a complex organization. One wants to avoid oversimplifying any analysis of this. For example, you saw reference to the Egyptian intelligence services' suspicion that Saeed Ramadan was working directly for the Americans. Because the Muslim Brotherhood was an organization that was Islamist in its orientation, it was anti-secular, the Muslim Brotherhood, with its fascistic ideology, was utilized during the Cold War by the CIA for various capacities. The Muslim Brotherhood was used in combination with the CIA and other repressive regimes in the Middle East to suppress Middle Eastern leftist movements, communists in particular. Most recently, during the Cold War, the Muslim Brotherhood played a primary role in the recruitment of freedom fighters, Mujahideen, to combat the Soviets in Afghanistan. In part because of its perceived utility in combating secular leftism in the Muslim world, the Muslim Brotherhood did have a strong relationship with elements of the CIA and other Western intelligence services. However, it is implacably opposed to Western political values, and with the end of the Cold War, though that opposition has expressed itself through, among other things, Muslim Brotherhood support for al-Qaeda. What we're going to turn to next concerns Saeed Ramadan's influence in Europe and Muslim Brotherhood's influence in Europe. Now, you heard reference to the fact that Saeed Ramadan was the father of Tariq Ramadan. Tariq Ramadan is incredibly important and influential with European Muslims. And what we're going to look at is the fact that Tariq Ramadan, again, as is the case with many Muslim brothers, has a reputation for moderation. However, intelligence services that are expert at investigating Islamist terrorism have come to a very different conclusion about the orientation and the connections of Tariq Ramadan, ostensibly a democratic, egalitarian, social personality, but according to intelligence services, someone who practices a very, very different type of activity than he preaches. Reviewing information from For the Record program number 450, this is from an article, Tariq Ramadan, Target for European Intelligence Services. This article was authored by Christophe Dubois. It appeared in Le Parisien of November 14th, 2003. And in turn, this article quotes French intelligence experts on the Islamist movement. For several weeks, a federal judge in the state of Washington has had on his desk reports from European intelligence services implicating Tariq Ramadan in several investigations into the activities of al-Qaeda. According to our sources, these reports were obtained by lawyers acting on behalf of the families of the victims of the attack on the World Trade Center of September 11, 2001. A lawsuit is currently being brought on behalf of 5,600 plaintiffs seeking damages and interest against the persons or group suspected of having supported Osama bin Laden's organization. According to Jean-Charles Brizard, former member of the intelligence services and now a private investigator hired by the victims' families, this international investigation has obtained the political and law enforcement cooperation of 30 countries. Since the end of 2002, the Geneva Islamic Center, where Tariq Ramadan sits on the board of directors and of which Brother Hani Ramadan is the director, appears among the organizations under investigation. Recall in the section that I just read, we took a look at the fact that Saeed Ramadan founded the Geneva Center in hopes of working directly with key Nazi operative François Janoux. Continuing, several of the newer elements of this investigation personally implicate the star preacher to young French Muslims. According to documents provided to American law enforcement officials, Tariq Ramadan is allegedly the nephew of Omar Abdelrahman, the planner of the first attack on the World Trade Center, sentenced to life in prison in the United States. Grandson of the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood, Hassan al-Banna, in 1993, Ramadan was allegedly put in charge of the Dawah, preaching for Europe, by that Islamist organization. Ramadan says of these charges, "I am not related to Omar Abdelrahman and have no organic ties to the Muslim Brotherhood," unquote. Moreover, the name of the Muslim intellectual was cited in several anti-terrorist investigations. As part of an investigation into an Al-Qaeda cell in Spain, he was named as one of the usual contacts, unquote, for Ahmed Brahim, considered to be one of Al-Qaeda's treasurers, indicted in April of 2003 by Magistrate Garzon. In particular, his name is mentioned during a telephone conversation of April 22, 1999, of which Le Parisien has a copy between Ahmed Brahim and an official at the Tawid bookstore in Lyon, which published Ramadan's books. The conversation concerns the acquisition of blank audio cassettes and the invitation extended to young French citizens in Mallorca to work, quote, work for the path of Allah, unquote. The Swiss intellectual is also named in the trial in France of a group suspected of having planned an attack against the U.S. Embassy. Jamal Begal, considered to be the network leader, told the investigating magistrate Jean-Louis Bouguère on October 1, 2001, "In 1994, I followed courses taught by Tariq Ramadan. The preacher's response, 'I don't know Ahmed Brahim. My name was simply mentioned over the course of two harmless conversations. Moreover, I didn't begin teaching in Paris until 1997. Another charge against him, according to the investigations conducted by the lawyers acting on behalf of the families of the World Trade Center victims, the Ramadan family address appears in a register at the Al-Taqwa Bank, which is on the American State Department's list of organizations accused of supporting Islamist terrorism. And still more, the last item recorded by the intelligence services, Tariq Ramadan and his brother allegedly organized a 1991 meeting in a Geneva hotel at which both Ayman al-Zawahiri, current Al-Qaeda number 2, and Omar Abdelrahman were present. What of these dangerous liaisons? I have never met these people," unquote. So many denials do not impress Jean-Charles Brizard. Quote, "Today, there is a real stack of evidence pointing to Tariq Ramadan's having had relations with several terrorists," he says. "He has renounced the Muslim Brotherhood, but he shares their heritage. Under the cover of moderation, he is accumulating a radicalism that may encourage jihad," unquote. By the way, several of the people that were noted here in connection with Balthazar Garzon's investigation and with a plot to blow up the U.S. Embassy are also people that have figured in the investigation into the recent bombings in Madrid, Spain. Okay? That concludes Side 1 of For the Record Program number 455, Compendium on the Muslim Brotherhood. This is being recorded on April 11th of 2004. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.